gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Squee for healthcare and the last day for vacation. Squee! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday, everybody. Happy healthcare. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy. Voice deity, Jim Ward.
Hello.
And me, Stephanie Miller. What? Who's that? Is he in New York? Oh, my God.
I'm actually here. You're in New York.
Where in the world?
Once again, in spite of popular demand, they let me back in the building.
Well, that's because you're filling in for Elliot Spitzer all week on Viewpoint on Current TV.
That's right. I have some pull now on the Scab of the Month for the Al Gore Club.
Yeah.
That's correct.
You are the go-to guy. You'll be filling in for us all next week when we're on vacation.
I am so excited.
Very, very exciting.
Please leave those. Steph, please leave those pills for me in that place like you did
last
time.
Sure, the thing with the guy. Right. With the pill cutter with a little.
Awesome.
Yeah. Now, I am off to Italy, you know. I'm going on a bike trip. Jody in Chicago. Steph, I just heard you're off to Italy today for a bike race of some sort. Please be careful. I've seen the movie Breaking Away about bicycle enthusiasts who races against the Italian team, and they cheat. During the race, they put a stick in the guy's spokes, and he flips over rather violently, hence losing the race as well as getting banged up a bit. So keep your elbows up and block out those cheating Italians. I'm Italian, so I can say that. Jody in Chicago. Hey, what's the matter, you? It's not a bike race. It's just a bike trip. Although I may have to knock some bitches off a hill because I'm a little competitive.
You don't know how to relax during a vacation,
no.
Do
some
you?
Some Italian bitches may have to eat my gravel soup.
She can't relax ever.
You just have to be go.
Go, ride,
drink.
Jim, she can't relax unless she's doing 10 things at once.
Right, exactly.
That is relaxing for me.
And Italy is probably going to win the European Soccer Club thing. The
right.
Cup. So,
oh, wow.
Right. Jim, you'll be there for
I've
that?
I've got my, you know, camelback.
Jim, you're the American who cares about soccer.
Yeah, he's the guy. He's that guy. I'm going to have a camelback with wine so I can, you know, just drink and ride at the same time.
I understand we actually have a hockey team. They won something called the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. Yes, we have a, John, we have a hockey team in L.A. Who knew?
Yeah, I
There's
heard that.
There's ice here? I don't...
I think that's a myth, like the female orgasm. I don't know if I believe
what?
That. Sorry, I've been talking to a lot of Republicans this week.
Hey with the flavor.
Speaking of Republicans, did you see the Schmidthead's reaction from which what she thought was the...
John, was that the best part?
It
was watching the right-wingers lose their... over healthcare. I couldn't wait. I've never been so excited. I was like looking at the clock. I'm like, when is Rush starting?
Yep.
I can't wait.
Yep. Well, I couldn't wait to hear Rush's opinion so Mitt Romney could know what he was supposed to say.
Yeah,
exactly. That was great. Yeah. It's amazing. I am so outraged over this mandate that I'm going to do everything I can do to elect the guy who did it first.
Yes. I hate this. Yeah, that's what somebody's saying, forcing Mitt Romney to run against himself. So, anyway, I will, and that'll start next week already, but I'll be gone.
That's right.
I am,
it's been great, and we've been
I'm going, Jim, you know, with you, my best friend Wanda. For 30 years, I'm going to, and the last time we were in Europe together, we were in the Edinburgh Festival in Scotland.
Oh, wow.
In college.
Wow.
I played Lucy in Your Good Man Charlie Brown, and she played Myra Breckinridge. And so we will be sitting around drinking and reliving our magical theatrical memories.
Basically the same show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she was more highbrow, you were more lowbrow.
So you came crawling back to Broadway.
Yes, and then, of course, as we all know, my famous role as the nurse in Streetcar Named Desire.
Right. And what was your line?
Oh, thanks for asking. Blanche, it's time. Yeah. They went nuts
role.
In the cheap seats. Yeah, oh, right?
I mean, if they don't drag her to the mental hospital at the end of the
play,
you have no play.
You have the longest stage walk in theater history. It's a very long, slow walk in a spotlight.
Blanche, line?
Yeah.
Like, can I do this faster so we can get to the pub? All right.
Whoever you are, I've always depended upon the kindness of casting directors.
Washed! Why aren't these grapes washed? All right. I'm having Edinburgh flashbacks now.
Wow.
Sean
Connery has those every day.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So I love all that. I mean, seriously. Well, let's see. Michael Savage, I believe, said John Roberts is probably had a seizure.
Well, he said his epilepsy medication is causing him to think like that.
Right.
Right.
He is,
really, as opposed to not wanting to go down in history as a complete douche, which is really the factor here.
Right. His his Wikipedia page was vandalized to describe him as America's 17th chief traitor.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Real mature, guys. Real mature, you guys.
You know,
way
we were all set to have children decline health care for pre-existing conditions until John Roberts had to ruin it.
Exactly.
Yeah, but Jean Schmidt, when she thought it had been overturned, was just ecstatic because
I
all these people are going to die. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
I have to
all
say, it was like die. A huge health care prank. I have to say.
Well, I think Robert saw the writing on the wall that if they didn't let it go through, we'd be a single payer.
Yeah.
Yep. It would be go straight to Medicare for all.
Yeah.
And so he...
Well, and that still might be the case. That still might be the case with the fee that they're calling a tax.
Right.
And it's great to hear our conservative friends now, they've totally dropped the word mandate. Now they're using the word tax.
Yes.
Because it was called a tax by John Roberts, who they don't respect anymore.
Right. Yes, exactly.
Am I getting that right?
They believe that one part. They used it to say that Obama lied.
Exactly.
You know, as if he wouldn't have gotten in the same car that he went back to put a birth announcement in the Hawaii papers, of course, to make sure that...
Let me finish.
That's right. A fair argument, too. It's a very fair argument. But the fact is, they're calling Obama a flip-flopper while trying to elect Romney.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's all pause to savor that delicious irony.
By the way, Mitt Romney in 2006, not even the 90s, 2006, he called the mandate the individual responsibility principle.
Sure. But now,
yes, but now,
it's the worst thing ever in the history of
the most
of
conservative
ever.
Part of this conservative Republican bill that a Democrat made law, and they're furious about it.
Yeah, but Romney's going to repeal it on day one.
Sure.
Right.
On day one. All you sick kids, better celebrate because your pre-existing conditions will deny you health care again.
Your free ride's about over. Slackers.
And this goes to the core of what it is to be conservative. These are the guys always saying, pick yourself up by your bootstraps.
Have personal
responsibility. And, you don't want
the
these
quote
freeloaders.
I love the clip they played yesterday. It's like, I got the idea from Newt, who got it from the Heritage Foundation.
Yeah.
The mandate.
Yeah.
That's why we all loved it so much.
And that's the essence of their argument. That's the argument Obama should have made by saying, look, man, you don't want these freeloaders running up your tax bills, going into emergency rooms with no coverage. We're going to make them be responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's what Mitt said.
I just love it. I couldn't decide which particular headline I love most. John Roberts saves Obamacare. How does George W. Bush feel right now? I
it's
imagine
fantastic.
He's having a little tantrum on Ruggie, don't you think, Jim? He's probably having a little...
Oh, darn it.
I did a commentary on this last night years we've had our Republican friends saying, oh, there you go, blame Bush. And it's like, when
now
you
guess who they're blaming? They're blaming Bush for something else.
The Bush tax cuts and the wars are going to account for half of our debt in the year 2019. And finally, they've learned to blame Bush for something.
Yep. This analysis, it seems plausible Roberts may have been partly triggered by a decision to prevent the court from being seen as overtly political.
Mm-hmm.
Polls showing public respect for the Supreme Court is a quarter century low. Because we were saying that would have been... The most judicial activism that we've ever seen.
Right.
If they overturned, a duly elected president's key.
When the Republicans trying to say it's judicial activism because he didn't.
Exactly.
Right. Yes.
Well, what's an activist court, Daddy? That's a court that does something Daddy doesn't like.
One of the most important passages in Roberts' majority decision was, we do not consider whether the act embodied sound policies. That judgment is entrusted to the nation's elected leaders. We ask only whether Congress has the power under the Constitution to enact the challenge provisions. And so, Hannity and others are using this like, well, see, even he said it's about the next election. Now it's about the next election. This is really the best thing that could have happened. I love their spinning this, that this is what they wanted to happen. Well, this is exactly what we said would be best.
Right.
Yeah.
I think Rupert Murdoch needs to split Sean Hannity in two instead of News Corp.
Yeah, Largan.
This one will scare old people. This is Fred Flintstone's body double.
Yeah, but he said, in short, if you want a national referendum on health care law, then the proper arena is the 2012 campaign, not the inner sanctums of the Supreme Court. And guess what? FYI, GTK, we did have an election.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
And people
by the way, Romney's campaign website declares as president, Mitt will nominate judges in the mold of Chief Justice Roberts. Justices Scalia, Thomas, and Alito. I wonder if that's been deleted yet.
And it's worth pointing out the American people did pick the guy who talked about single payer in 2008. I'm sorry, who talked about the public option in 2008.
Yes. So there are some people, of course, saying using Souter, that he got Souter'd.
Mm-hmm.
George H.W. Bush.
Souter bomb!
Did it. Appointed Souter.
Done it. Shouldn't have done it.
You got Souter bombed.
As for the health care law, its major provisions remain on schedule to take effect in 2014. Even President Romney may find it difficult to reverse history as he would have to face down a filibuster threat. By Senate Democrats to get a repeal bill through Congress. So good luck, Matt. He'll be too busy building the Keystone Pipeline with his own hands, won't he?
Yes.
Yes. To repeal health care on day one. Boy, day one's going to be busy. For the mittens. Okay. Let's
bless his heart.
Bless his heart.
Yeah, he'll pay some illegals to do it.
Yep.
And Dana, you know what? For him to repeal it, he'd need 60 votes in the Senate. Like, he's just pulling these numbers out of his magic underwear.
Yeah. What? John Louise, people saying. Dana and Marilyn, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dana.
Hi. Everybody.
Hi.
How are you?
We're spiking the ball.
We're chippy today. Yes. First of all, I wanted to say arrivederci. Have a wonderful vacation. You deserve it.
Thank you.
Enjoy. And I have to disagree with Jim because Spain will be winning the Euro Cup.
Well, you better bring it now, sister.
Yeah,
you're going to talk smack on this show to Jim.
Spain's bringing it, baby.
I wanted to say
I woke up to the most hideous Michelle Bachmann this morning on the show.
Extra screechy.
Yeah, she is absolutely, I mean, she's just on another planet. And
Dana, it's not often she outdrama queens her husband, so give her a moment.
Incredible.
Give her a moment.
And she kept saying November and the world's coming to an end in November. And it's like, okay, well, why aren't you helping the economy now?
Yeah.
What have you done for me lately?
Because, Jehovah God, it's almost time for the rapture. The end is near.
She doesn't work for you.
Stop giving tax breaks to these companies that outsource jobs.
Yep.
And, you know, she just played dodgeball the entire time, just not answering the question. It was like, Michelle, answer the question. You know, she's just
Dana,
she's
you
crazy.
Don't understand. You are interrupting her rapture.
And we are in the last days. You are Jehovah God.
Yeah.
She talks to Jehovah God exactly the way I talk to Max and Brent.
You are Jehovah Dog.
Who wants a ride? It's a cookie.
Who wants a rapture?
Mm-hmm. 17. It's like saying the word walk.
Yeah.
Who wants a rapture?
By the way,
Jim Graves is the name of the Democrat businessman running against her in her own district. Google him. He's a good guy.
Google
Jim
it.
Graves.
Google it. Do it. All right. 18 minutes after the hour. It's a spike in the football day.
Yeah, kind of.
18 minutes after. Winning with grace. Not much wrong, Sue.
No.
18 minutes after the hour, more Fridays with Fugle Sang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's full of witches and strange creatures of the night.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
She's crafting. She gets around. She's crafting.
Jimmy Page's lawyers on line two.
No, they use this with permission.
Okay.
Exactly.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. You're right. That says it all. The picture of Boner and Nancy Pelosi. She's smiling and clapping, and he's looking like, I am not giving the gavel back.
Sucking on a lemon.
Yeah. Or an orange.
Okay. All right. So, I would have given anything to be a fly on the wall when this first came down and they had, frantic phone calls between Limbaugh and Hannity and Fox. Oh, how do we? And then Rush says it, and then they all do the same thing. Obama lied. It's the largest tax increase in history. He obviously lied.
No.
And they played the clip over and over of him on Stephanopoulos. So because the Supreme Court called it a tax, that doesn't mean the president lied.
No.
Exactly.
It was never sold as a tax.
It.
Congress did not pass it as a tax.
It's a fine. It's a fine is all it is. You don't have insurance, you go for care, and you get a ticket for it.
And the only reason the Supreme Court considered it a tax is because the IRS has jurisdiction over collecting it.
Right, but because that's the way they interpret it, doesn't mean the president lied. It's not like he was going to know how they were going to interpret this, however many months or years later.
And the real
let
reason they called it a tax
John,
is
hang
John
on,
Roberts
hang on, John, hang on.
Sure.
Okay, let me tell you the fun facts of why the individual mandate is not a massive tax hike on the middle class. Republicans have falsely claimed this is, and you can tell it starts first with Rush, and then they all keep repeating it. It's the biggest tax increase ever in American history. So, of course, conservatives immediately have jumped on the idea that the individual mandate was a massive tax hike on the middle class, reviving an argument they've made since, from more than 2 years ago. It is not a massive tax hike on the middle class, much less the biggest tax hike in American history. Oh, actually, in the history of the world, Rush said yesterday. History of the world, my friends. It's not hyperbole. The tax imposed by the individual mandate amounts to either $695 or 2.5% of household income for those who don't have insurance or are not exempt based on income levels. The mandate, meanwhile, would hit a small amount of Americans, somewhere between 2 and 5%. According to a study from the Urban Institute, the number could be even lower, depending on the law's success. For instance, Jim, it's a state called Massachusetts.
I've heard of that.
the only state with an insurance mandate. Just a, it's a weird fun fact there.
Hmm. One that covers abortions, I might add.
That's right.
Yeah, less than 1% of state residents paid the penalty in 2009. This is what we're screaming about for how many years. The majority of the Affordable Care's other taxes, such as payroll tax, increase tax on high-cost health plans, are aimed at upper-income Americans. In exchange, millions of jobs will be created as new people enter the health care system, and millions of people will gain access to affordable, quality care.
You say that like it's a good thing.
It's called that insurance that they otherwise would not have. The court's decision to uphold the entirety of the law will have significant benefits for the nation's economy, according to many nonpartisan experts. Just saying. Oh, boy. Okay. It's just like talking point shrapnel.
That's right.
Talking point shrapnel. Gene in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Gene.
Ciao, Bella.
Ciao, Bella.
Very good. Before I talk about the healthcare stuff, I just want to tell you that Jim Graves is within 5 points of Michelle Bachmann, and she's below 50. So come out, everybody. Yeah. Vote.
Come on. Do it.
Mm-hmm.
Do it.
She's in the final.
I am thrilled to see so many people have access to healthcare, but I'm also confused about how to feel about it because I do believe all the conspiracy theories that I've heard so far about Roberts dumping more money into the pockets of large insurance companies and wanting to give the right talking points in the fall about this being a tax. So I'm confused. Help me out.
Say it again, Gene. I'm sorry. I'm distracted by Chris's. He's fooling with my blinds, and I'm very anal. All right, go ahead.
I have mixed emotions. I don't know which way to go with this because I'm thrilled that tens of millions of people
have insurance. Right.
And I'm concerned that Roberts just secretly put billions of dollars in the pockets of insurance companies for all the tens of millions of people who will be paying premiums to them.
Well, there's a flip side to that.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Well, you know, you can say the president did that as well, and that's the greatest argument, that this is not socialism, okay? It's corporate socialism. You are forcing people to buy a product, and as Stephanie pointed out, in Massachusetts, where the guy who did it first implemented it, that tax has affected less than 1% of households. But the fact is, the Affordable Care Act law also states that they can only use a certain amount of money for salaries, bonuses, and advertising, and the bulk of the money that you pay has to go to do your health care costs, which is why so many seniors, thousands and thousands are getting rebate checks in their companies this year. So it balances out. The insurance companies, yes, they get a lot of new money because a lot of people are forced by the government to buy their product, but they're also mandated by the government to not squander as much money on things that aren't related to health care. So it really does balance out for both parties.
And can I just say one thing? As I said yesterday, I'm like,
I think that sounded like bonus, I knew what I was talking about.
Yes, the added bonus of calling it a tax, it made Grover Norquist's head explode yesterday. Hello, salt, here's wound.
He drowned himself in the bathtub. Rub, 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 rub,
rub, rub, rub, rub, rub. How's that feel? No, but that's what we were saying yesterday, John, is that's, I mean, to me, if you call it a tax, so what? It's a good policy. It's a good law. And the reason you can't get that passed is because the Republicans signed a pledge to Grover Norquist, not to the Constitution.
Because they pledge allegiance to Grover Norquist.
Yeah, I mean...
Every morning at the flag.
Exactly. All right. Dan in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Dan.
Hello.
Hello.
We Obama bots have to celebrate. I mean, think about it. Think about the talking point from the left about Obama, that he's weak, right? Look at this guy. He clears the highest hurdle, comes out of nowhere, clears the highest hurdle in history. The first African-American president goes after... is an endangered species, a liberal president, comes in and does the two things that make liberals a liberal president an endangered species.
Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. And they cannot stand it. The spin is incredible. The bottom line is you lost, suck on that.
And
GOP.
It saves American lives, patriots.
It does.
All right, and we're going to celebrate with one of our personal favorites, Representative Jan Schakowsky of the great state of Illinois, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Except
Stephanie Miller
for who she is.
A very big hoe.
Boy, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. You know, yesterday, we know this historic ruling came down. You just pictured what everyone's reaction was, and particularly the people who were really on the front lines of this battle, like our good friend Representative Jan Schakowsky of the great state of Illinois, who must have been doing those back handsprings that I've seen you do in the, during the gay pride parade in Chicago. You must have been skipping.
I was just so so thrilled, not entirely surprised. I was hoping that the Chief Justice would think about his legacy, one, and two, the utter chaos that would have been created in this country if the law would have been overturned, because millions of people are already getting benefits and states are already planning for the exchanges and hospitals are making changes. And, you know, he would have gone down in history as someone that would have overturned this landmark law that really is going to change, you know, lift the burden. I mean, I think every American does walk around with a weight on their shoulder, not knowing how they're actually going to pay for the things that they may need in order to live and stay healthy. Even people who are insured, it often doesn't cover enough for them to avoid a financial crisis in their families. That burden is lifted. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's, I gotta tell you, Representative, it's like the President said, you know, this is a victory for the American people. You know, we've had people calling the show all week, literally in tears, Congresswoman, that were so scared about what was going to happen and that, you know, that their child with a pre-existing condition or whatever their particular story was, you know, was going to suddenly, I mean, this is it. It's hopefully the day that we stop having Americans go bankrupt because of medical issues, right?
You know, I remember I went to Canada some years ago, to Toronto, which looks a lot like Chicago, and you recognize all the people. They look the same. And they have the same diseases, cancer and diabetes and HIV/AIDS, but not one of those people that I was looking at is worrying, what am I going to do to pay for these health issues that I have? Not one of them. No. And suddenly I think that the United States at least has come close to that.
Congresswoman Schakowsky, tell us what I was reading a news story where you described Cheers in the caucus, but obviously there was this confusion at first. What was it like to be, where were you, first of all?
Yes, we were the Democrats were in a caucus, and the first email that came through was that the mandate was overturned.
Right.
Now, I wasn't that upset about that because I didn't think that was going to be a deal breaker. But so there was kind of and then when it came back that that pretty much all of the law was upheld, there really was just such a buzz and a cheer that went up in the caucus. I think a lot of people, even if you weren't shocked, were surprised and delighted for sure.
And I heard the president also thought, you know, got the wrong news at first. But I love always the description of him, whether it's during the Bin Laden raid or whatever it is. He's calm. Calm and collected.
You know,
he was just confused like all of us were with all the conflicting reports. And then, you know, I mean, it just, what a day, right?
It was just amazing. And I know that my governor in Illinois came out right away and said that Illinois will do the Medicaid expansion. I don't know why any state wouldn't.
Right.
The federal government pays 100%. So there was just so much good news yesterday on the health care front.
Well, Congresswoman, you bring up a good point, is that, you know, this is what kills me, is like they've spent all this time fighting and demagoguing this, and now a lot of states with Republican governors got to get on the stick, don't they? And help the people in their state. I mean,
well, I hope so. But, you know, we have the good fortune now, since it's the law of the land and the story, to really go back to the American people and say, take a look at this. You say you don't like Obamacare. How about getting rid of all your pre-existing conditions as a barrier to getting health care? You know, and just go through what it really means for people. And it'd be hard for me to understand how the vast majority of Americans wouldn't, at the end of that, breathe a sigh of relief.
Well, I mean, and Congresswoman, you know, there's one line in this story I was reading that I know is going to, I know exactly what the right wing is going to do with it. If states aren't ready, the law calls for Washington to step in and run things. And there we go, government takeover. But it's only because they have balked at implementing, you know, a law that was duly passed, right?
Exactly. They have the time now until next year to make preparations for the exchanges to be set up. And by the way, all members of Congress are going to be required to be part of the healthcare exchanges. That ought to give some comfort to people, too, that it can't be that bad a deal, right?
Right.
If members of Congress are going to be part of those exchanges.
Well, and, you know, Congresswoman Schakowsky, we've talked about partisanship through this whole thing. I mean, the way the right wing has turned on John Roberts, I mean, they're calling him the names they called all of us during the healthcare debate. It's really incredible, isn't it?
I know. And actually, Mitt Romney, I think, I don't know if it's on tape or they've got a quote from him as saying, you know, if he had his choice, this was some time ago, he'd appoint just all Supreme Court justices just like John Roberts.
What? Yeah. How do you react to your colleagues like Representative Louie Gohmert, Republican of Texas, who said for Justice Roberts to say, of course it's a tax, he makes it very clear he believes the president is a liar and it's a sad day for America. How do you respond to this talking point? The president lied and this is the biggest tax increase in the world. History.
You know, I think that we have to respond by saying, what part of the benefits of Obamacare would you get rid of? What don't you like? What don't your constituents like about that? They're flailing around and name-calling and, you know, abandoning, you know, John Roberts as a traitor. But I think this is the moment we say, okay, everybody calm down, take a close look at that, and, you know, maybe there are some changes that eventually need to be made, but what a great deal for the American people, finally.
Yep. I loved what you said. You said, I'm so proud of Nancy Pelosi, who was Speaker of the House, guided it through Congress, and I look forward to her being the Speaker to implement it in the next session. There's a picture going around the Internet of her with John Boehner yesterday that says it all.
I haven't seen it. What's his expression?
Oh, you know, not happiness, really.
Yeah, it looks like he's sucking on a lemon.
Petulance.
Really
yeah. But, you know, and then she duly gave credit, of course, to Ted Kennedy, who has called this the cause of his lifetime. You know, I mean.
Yes, she did. You know, Nancy Pelosi absolutely insisted that she would be able to get the votes in the House of Representatives to make that happen. And she did. She's a remarkable leader. And for many of us, actually, this is the culmination, in many ways, of a lifetime of work, and certainly a lifetime for many Americans who have just struggled and struggled with this non-system that we've had. So, yes, we can. Now it's implementation. It's building on it, doing things better.
Yeah, and isn't it time to stop demagoguing? You're again, another of your colleagues, what's his name? Steve King, Republican of Iowa, said yesterday, it gives me a sick feeling in my stomach to think what happened to liberty in this country. I mean,
what?
Really? We're talking about sick kids being insurance.
Exactly. And talk about not the feeling of being trapped, that horrible feeling of being trapped, like, how am I going to take care of that sick child? It's freedom. It's liberty to be free from the worry of these health care costs. So I think that now, especially since the Supreme Court, with John Roberts, made it the law of the land, that these Republicans are just looking silly, frankly.
Yeah.
And
well, not just for
counterproductive.
They started early before this, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, you put it best yesterday. You said today's Supreme Court decision is a victory for Illinoisans. Am I saying that right? Illinoisans. Illinoisans?
Illinoisans.
Like 11-year-old Olivia, who suffered a stroke at birth and no longer endures private insurance company abuses like pre-existing condition exclusions. Thanks to Obamacare, up to 17 million children nationwide with pre-existing conditions are no longer denied insurance by insurers, and being a woman is no longer a pre-existing condition. Today is a victory for Illinois seniors like Anne, who's saving $1,200 this year because Obamacare is lowering her drug costs and closing the Medicare donut hole. I mean, those are real people in your real district, right?
That's taking real freedom to kill kids.
I met Olivia's mother. She came to a press conference. Her daughter was born. Her first breath, she had a pre-existing condition and requires all kinds of medical care. That she would not have been insured for.
Yep.
I mean, imagine, you have a child that's born with a disability. That's plenty to deal with. And then you think, oh, my God, how am I going to pay for this?
Yeah. Yeah. Congresswoman Schakowsky, we've been talking about how the Supreme Court vote went down. Were you surprised at Kennedy? And what do you think happened there? And does it concern you in terms of any, you know, future rulings?
No, I didn't study the court and know where Kennedy was coming. I was mostly focusing on the Chief Justice, his role as the one that would worry most, I think, about his court and his legacy and what kind of imprint he would leave as the Chief Justice. So I don't know.
I
know Nancy Pelosi thought it would be six in favor, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, interesting, because I'm reading analysis from sort of just independent legal experts, but just saying he may have saved the court, you know, and for that,
yep.
He's gotten called a traitor online. Some, you know, people have said, oh, he's mm-hmm. mentally ill, he's deranged, it's incredible.
The extremism of this pushback, especially from people who, you know, have applauded so many decisions of the Roberts Court, I think this makes them look mean-spirited and venal as opposed to constructive members of Congress. And, you know, let him rant, is my view.
Yeah, I think you made the point yesterday about people with mental illness will be able to be covered. And let me just tell you, the fact that my insurance covers my therapist alone, Representative, is a service.
Fantastic, right?
Many, many people. Representative Jan Schakowsky, take a well-deserved victory lap this morning. Thanks so much.
No, I am just feeling so good. Nothing can take the smile off my face. I don't care what they say about me or John Roberts.
Well, here's what we say about you. You are the rockin' congresswoman from the great state of Illinois, Representative Jan Schakowsky.
Thank you,
all right, talk to you soon.
Okay.
There she goes. Yay!
From Asheville sent us a list of, you know, hysterical Republican reactions, mm-hmm. including hysterical little twit Ben Shapiro. This is the greatest destruction of individual liberty since Dred Scott. This is the end of America, if you know it. No exaggeration.
Gnashing teeth, rending garments.
Wait. Oh, I have some. Hang on. I have some. Representative Jack Kingston, Republican of Georgia. With Obamacare ruling, I feel like I lost two great friends, America and Justice Roberts. Oh, my God. Marcus Bachman is like, oh, my God, honey.
Drama.
Please.
Yeah.
Rush
Limbaugh.
Rush
Limbaugh says if it ever really goes into law, he's going to move to Costa Rica, where they have universal health care.
Hey.
Oh, did you see that BuzzFeed posted a whole bunch of people on Twitter who said, Obamacare got ruled constitutional, I'm moving to Canada.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
There's a great piece on...
Yeah.
Where they do have single payer.
I don't want this health care. You take
God.
It back.
And they have gay marriage in Canada.
No! Representative Dennis Ross, Republican of Florida, tweeted, truly disappointed in Justice Roberts and others who allowed this assault on the Republic stand.
And when you see his reading, he really tried to triangulate it.
He did.
Kept saying he doesn't like this bill. He doesn't like it, but it's legal. He tried so hard to placate both sides.
Right.
This court has his name on it.
Guess what Republicans are calling the Roberts Court now?
What?
Activists! Activists! All right, 47 minutes after the hour. More spiking the ball as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Can we absolutely positively guarantee that it will give me an orgasm? Yeah.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
The highest court in the land has now spoken. I didn't do this because it was good politics. I did it because I believed it was good for the country.
Freebird! 52 minutes after the hour.
Who didn't do Freebird?
Step 1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Okay, somebody had tweeted yesterday, who had a worse day, Ann Curry, Republicans, or CNN.
Poor Ann Curry.
Oh, that was awful. She was like, I'm sorry, I couldn't carry the ball. And
it was so
heartbreaking.
And she only got $10 million to walk away. It's so degrading.
I would walk away with half that.
I will let NBC fire me for less than half of that.
I would take off my baseball cap and storm out of here for $5 million.
I'll walk for 1.5.
Okay, get out, mm-hmm. Jim.
Heck, I'd walk for $750,000.
Don't sell yourself short. Yeah, I heard they offered, offered Meredith Vieira. I don't know if that's true. Double the $10 million salary she earned prior to departing to come back. I don't know.
Wow.
You want to hear some gossip?
Uh-oh.
Matt Lauer's wife has threatened him with divorce if he presses NBC Entrees to name Natalie Morales his co-host.
Oh, really?
She's spreading a little.
And she's hot.
This is in the Inquirer. A source said, I heard Matt had an extramarital affair with Natalie, and he's the father of one of her kids. That would be awkward!
There is no way of proving this.
No, of course.
That's his rumor.
This is a National Inquirer.
Savannah Guthrie's got the job anyway.
Yeah, is that what you point?
You're in New York. You're in New York, so you probably know better than we do.
Yes, you're in the circles.
I thought that. Yeah, I mean that seems to be the case. You totally got it.
You can hear the whispers through the thin walls.
She's been fired from enough shows now. She can do that.
I don't know. I don't know who that is. I'm sorry.
Savannah Guthrie. Yeah, you know she hosted with Chuck Todd in afternoons on MSNBC.
I'm just saying NBC. I would even. You know what? I'd even lose the baseball cap. I would do it for. You know. I'd edge Meredith out if she's still in the running.
And you'd shove all of us aside just to do that, wouldn't
God,
you?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
Let's go to Angie in West Virginia. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Angie.
Hi. Good morning, all.
Good morning.
I am saying yay for health care.
Yay.
And I also wanted to say that my loathing.
Yay! I know, Michelle Bachman, you're so happy. Go ahead.
My loathing for Justice Roberts has gone to strong dislike.
Yeah, I heard. Did you hear Daily Kos? Marcos Daily Kos said, because you know they're all calling for his impeachment on the right, and he's like, all right, I'll join you.
Sure.
Yeah, right on.
Because he's got a real liberal in
he's
there.
He's had a whole slew of really
Citizens United
decisions.
Yeah. Please. Like, all right, good, let's impeach him.
Impeach him before November, please.
Yeah. Gawker had a headline. Hey, left wing, stop ing John Roberts.
Oh.
Well, he's still a fascist. He's just a fascist who cares about where he goes in history.
Sure. Yeah. Aja, am I saying that right? In Washington?
Aja?
Hello? Aja?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Stephanie. Sorry.
Hi.
I just wanted to call you guys about something I found in my post office yesterday.
What's that?
Right after the ruling, it's like this mass mail that they want you to send to the Speaker of the House and the United States Senate and the United States Supreme Court. And there's typos and there's lies.
Oh, boy.
And they want the Supreme Court, John Roberts specifically, to keep an eye on the fraudulent activity of the Obama administration this year.
Sure.
And it's
on it. We're on it.
It's just insanity.
Okay. The president yesterday.
What the country can't afford to do is refight the political battles of 2 years ago.
I know. Could you believe how quickly, you know, Romney and Boehner, everybody got to a microphone and go, oh, well, the only thing to do now is repeal it. What? Are you not paying attention?
Let's repeal
it. There has been an election. There has been a Supreme Court case. Suck on it. You lost. Move
but
on.
It just proves they mean nothing that they say. It's like Fast and Furious. All it is about raising funds. They are never going to get 60 votes in the Senate to repeal it. It's not going to happen. They're just talking to make you open up your wallets and donate to them. They're all about theater, except theater creates real jobs.
There you go. The president again.
This idea has enjoyed support from members of both parties.
Yes.
Including the current Republican nominee for president.
Bam! Bam! Nothing but net.
Damn.
But it's not a tax when Mitt does it, okay? Can we get that clear? Why do you hate America?
The president.
Whatever the politics, today's decision was a victory for people all over this country whose lives will be more secure because of this law and the Supreme Court's decision to uphold it.
You say that like it's a good thing.
Kaya in Arizona, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Good morning and congratulations, guys.
Thank you.
All liberals should say congratulations.
Congratulations.
Good luck
the
next year.
I'm not giving anybody else credit. I did this.
Yes.
I have a question about Fast and Furious.
Yes.
I know we're talking about healthcare, but that was the other big news of the day yesterday. And nobody seems to be addressing this because, you know, we're kind of busy calling it a witch hunt, it is. But what I wanted to ask is, there was a U.S. minority report that came out and said that they blame the Phoenix ATF for all of this goof up, and they exonerated the top level Justice Department figures or whatever. And
all right, well, we're going to talk to Representative Barbara Lee later. She's one of the Democrats that walked out on that charade yesterday. All right, 58 minutes after, just trying to harsh our health care buzz. Whatever. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday. Happy healthcare. Happy day before our vacation. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Sexy Liberal, the Sexy Liberal website. You can get tickets to all the upcoming shows. They're going crazy, going here and at the Pantages. Oh, wait a minute. Otis in L.A., you got tickets for the Pantages, July 28th? Hey, Otis. Hi, Otis.
I love all y'all.
I love all y'all.
It's okay. It's Otis. He loves us.
It's a great week, I think, for health care. My representative, Becerra, was on your show.
Yes, he's awesome.
And Elvira was on your show. I did a job with her down in the beach communities in the 80s. And best of all, my tickets came.
For the Sexy Liberal Los Angeles, Pantages, July 28th.
Selling out fast, that one.
Yeah.
I'll be up there in the balcony yelling, I'm not a heckler. I've never been a heckler.
All right, Otis. We will see, we will see you there.
You lie.
We'll see you there. All right. Tickets going fast for that for Columbus in August and Seattle in September. Okay, and then, John Audra? Remember, she's one of the Sexy Liberal singers? She did her promo in the basement for the Minneapolis Sexy Liberal?
Oh, yes.
She has sent me a very overwrought Ciao Stephanie song from my I'm going to Italy today after show for a bike trip. Yeah.
Wherever you're going, we wish you well.
Thank you.
Wherever you're heading, we know you have to go. Yeah. But we know you're going somewhere. You've been training for weeks now, and it's time for Steph to fly.
Steph to fly.
But even though it kills us to go a week without,
I know.
You on radio or TV, we all will survive. So farewell.
Bye bye. Bye bye, everybody.
We're all gonna miss you.
Wow.
Only a week.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
But we will survive.
Because John Fugelsang will be here.
How dare you survive without me, Audra. Audra in Minneapolis, thank you.
How many yellow ribbons was she wearing when she sang that?
Wow. Boy, does she know, does the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money, did he tell her something I don't know? A deal with the airline or something?
Okay. Here's what you're going to do. Because.
Oh, by the way, Sexy Liberal Tour Director Roland. Yeah. Why do people have to break news to you on the? He's like, oh, I just read in the Wall Street Journal yesterday that tickets to Italy just plummeted if you waited till 2 weeks before. Okay.
Then he had to peel you off the ceiling.
Great news. All right. Chris in Oakland. Listen, this is a little. Our listeners, pranksters.
Mm-hmm.
Funny. Steph, so I've been getting these mailers from the Romney campaign, along with a propaganda letter. Is included the customary postage paid return envelope. But there's a twist. This excuse for a candidate who's not going to apologize for being successful actually has the gall to have printed in the corner of the envelope where the return address goes. By using your own first-class stamp to return this envelope, you'll be helping us save much-needed funds. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
So I printed off a copy of the letter and a picture I took of our minivan with Bin Laden rotting, GM thriving, see you at the polls, written across... grinning across the back. I scribbled a little note on Mitten's own letter suggesting he make a better comedian than president. Stuffed the whole packet in his envelope of shame and sent it back. Sans my own first class stamp. Hmm. Willard Romney, when he's not whoring for the 1%, he's begging for postage from the other 99. Rick Oakland, P.S. I'm sure he likes spending Koch Brothers money to help out the U.S. Postal Service. All right. Thank you, Chris.
Socialist Postal Service.
Exactly. Oh, John, you'll be happy because I know you spend a lot of time in Florida.
Indeed, I do. I like to go. I like to go where people move for the climate and then stay indoors all day with AC to avoid the climate.
Exactly. Cliff in Miami broke the news to. It was a big day yesterday, but yes. I didn't have time to say the naked face-eating zombie in Miami.
Yeah.
Not on bath salts. On marijuana. I mean, now that is a case of munchies.
That's hungry, all right.
That is munchy. Yikes.
Wow.
No evidence of bath salts. He just had marijuana in his system. Yikes.
So why did we all jump on the bath salts bandwagon?
Because there was speculation that it was bath salts.
Okay.
Yeah, because marijuana makes you so violent, you see.
Right.
And I'm sure he had no pre-existing conditions.
Here's a story from Walmart that does not involve crystal meth.
What?
Which is news in itself.
Nobody, I hope it's union busting.
Nobody making meth in the aisles? Nobody having their meth lab blow up in their pants? I just wanted somebody that had a worse day yesterday than Ann Curry or Sarah Palin or other Republicans. A woman super glued to Walmart toilet for an hour.
Oh,
that's when
no.
You know, yeah, your life is gone awry.
Well, why? Did she threaten? Did she talk about unions in the workplace?
No. A woman in Kentucky got stuck on a Walmart toilet that had super glue on it. It took paramedics about an hour to remove the woman from the toilet with the toilet seat still attached to her buttocks.
Oh, no.
She was later transported to an emergency room where the seat was removed. That's a bad day.
Wow. Some guy will get blamed for leaving it up.
All right. Nancy Pelosi yesterday on the historic health care ruling day. Nancy Pelosi, former speaker.
Children can no longer be denied coverage due to pre-existing condition. Young people, children and students and young people can stay on their parents' policy until they're 26 years old.
It's tyranny, I tell you.
Yes,
tyranny! The worst thing ever!
With the Supreme Court hurdle cleared, open enrollment for millions now uninsured is scheduled to begin in just 16 months. In October 2013, much of the healthcare industry is ready. People who do have insurance won't have to worry about the loss of popular new benefits, as some of the ones that she just mentioned. And starting in 2014, insurance companies will no longer be able to turn away people with a history of medical problems or charge them more. But carrying out the law will be a mad scramble for states, especially Republican-led ones, where officials hope this day wouldn't come.
Yeah. It's Texas and Florida that have already said they're going to refuse the money from the federal government to expand.
Good luck with that.
Awesome. Wow. That's great. And Rand Paul's blocking flood insurance.
Thursday's decision moves the U.S. closer to other economically advanced countries, that have had for years guaranteed health insurance to their citizens. The law's mandate that individuals have health insurance or pay a fee upheld by the court will affect relatively few people for all the screaming you hear about it.
Yep.
Because more than 8 in 10 Americans already have coverage, but employers with 50 or more workers will face fines if they don't provide insurance for their employees.
So America's entering the 20th century.
Yes. Law expected to expend coverage to 30 million of the estimated 50 million uninsured.
Oof.
That's
horrible.
Illegal immigrants still will represent a large share of those still without coverage, but 90% of citizens and legal residents will have insurance. And again, as the president said a couple of weeks ago with his order, if we did comprehensive immigration reform, we could help solve that problem, too, and not have all these people living in the shadows.
Yeah.
I mean,
plus, we're Christians, so we hate illegal immigrants and want them to suffer.
Joe Arpaio literally, John, the other day said, I would like to see them all jailed. Oh, well, that's a practical plan. Let's put 11 million people in jail.
In private
jails.
How is that saving the residents of Maricopa County money?
Let's see the entire economy of Arizona collapse without exploited labor as well. You'll be paying $70 for a salad.
Yeah, listen to this. So while health insurers, big hospitals, major employers have spent the last 2 years planning and carrying out this law, states are all over the lot. And this is where I hope, honestly, they throw out the whole lot of Republicans in this next election, because this is really the fact that they have just been rooting against Obama means they've been rooting against their own people.
That's right.
Although they're expected to play a crucial role in delivering insurance to their residents, only 14 states plus D.C. have actually adopted a plan for doing so. Hoping the law would be overturned, Republican governors and legislatures have resisted setting up new insurance markets that are the linchpin of the legislation that could turn into a problem for the whole country now. Thanks. We can't have nice things now because of you. Republicans. The National Association of Insurance Commissioners expects only about half the states to be ready to set up new health insurance markets slated to open for business January 1, 2014. Here's the line, John, I was saying to Jen Schakowsky. If the states, this is predictable. If the states aren't ready, the law calls for Washington to step in and run things. What are we going to hear? Oh, you see, the president just wants to run everything, and what the government wants, he wants to take over. And the point is, the law, he doesn't want to do that. He didn't want to run the auto business.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
exactly.
The law says you were supposed to do this. If you're not ready, now the government's going to have to, and they're going to accuse him of wanting that all along, which is
exactly
ridiculous.
And did we nationalize the auto businesses? No.
I mean,
it's not socialism.
And you know what this is? The new internet-based markets are supposed to provide one-stop shopping for health insurance, steering middle-class households to private plans and low-income people to an expanded version of Medicaid, the federal state program for the poor and disabled. But the court added a new wrinkle, as we talked to Jan Schakowsky about, ruling that states cannot be threatened with the loss of their entire Medicaid allotments if they refuse to carry out the expansion, which is geared largely to helping uninsured low-income adults. So states that turn, and John, you just said people have already, some Republicans have said they're turning it down. States that turn down the money will still be stuck with the cost of treating uninsured patients in hospital emergency rooms.
Mm-hmm. No sense whatsoever.
Yes.
That'll show them.
Yes, it's just to spite Obama. It's like, screw you, we don't want the infrastructure.
They hate Obama more than they love America.
Yeah. Administration officials predict states will participate even if some take time to decide. They pointed it took 3 or 4 years for all states to join the original Medicaid program. Seniors stand to receive better Medicare coverage for those with high prescription costs and no co-payments for preventative care. You know, unless we have a Vice President Paul Ryan, in which case,
yeah, that'll happen.
You know what? Don't discount that. It could happen.
By the way, we had Robert Reich on Viewpoint last night when I was filling in for the governor Spitzer, and I asked him what was the biggest lie of all of Mitt Romney's lies in his speech yesterday, because it was pretty much a lie every sentence.
Yeah.
If you watch it let $500 billion in new taxes. He made that number up. But I said to Reich, I think the greatest lie he had was about, now I've totally lost my place.
Oh,
I
no.
had a brain fart because of you.
That's
oh, my
okay.
God, I'm catching Steph disease.
Oh, no
the biggest...
Yes.
Well, the biggest lie in the whole thing was where he talked about how this is going to cut Medicare. And this is a man who supports the Paul Ryan budget, which will throw seniors off Medicare. If you're 80 years old with a heart disease, you get $15,000 worth of care. And if you need more than that, you get to go apply for a new health care plan. But pre-existing conditions are back under President Romney, so
Hello.
You will die.
And by the way, not just liked Paul Ryan's plan, thought it was marvelous.
Marvelous.
What a marvelous plan.
John, don't feel bad. Don't feel bad because it's hard to pick just one Mitt Romney lie. It's hard to...
I know. I get overwhelmed. But with Paul,
it's like an
with Paul Ryan, the notion of Paul Ryan as VP, if they do it, it means one thing. The GOP knows that Mittens has no chance of winning and they're grooming Paul Ryan for 2016.
It's like being in a lie avalanche and trying to decide which rock that just hit you do you hate the most. It's understandable, John. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, a freak show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Great.
Welcome to it.
I got a tweet from Gabe. He asked, is Uncle John going to let us stay up late and eat ice cream for breakfast while Stephanie Miller's show is gone?
Uncle John?
Whatever you want, children.
He's the loosey-goosey.
Oh, I'm the bad uncle. I'm the uncle Mama warned you about.
Yeah, uh-oh.
I'm leaving my house with a bunch of teenagers. Bad idea? Perhaps.
Uh-huh.
Your Uncle Ernie.
Who's
my best friend that I'm going with, it's her daughters and friends. I don't
know. Whatever.
I'm like, what are you guys into now? Crystal meth, raves? What's happening when I'm gone? Should I leave? So what do I leave?
No, they're going to spin records out by the pool on the hi-fi. That's what they're going to do. And do the twist.
I don't care. All right.
They do all 16 dances.
President Obama reportedly rode the same emotional roller coaster as millions of Americans watching cable news did. Yes, unless you're watching Jackie Shagner here in the current television. you know what, where's my Jackie Schechner? Give me 25 again, because she really was the first one that CNN, John, did you see CNN, MSNBC, Fox all reported the mandate, and we reported it because we were watching CNN, and
right.
Mm-hmm. Jackie, like, text you, no,
there's still confusion.
Yeah, and that's why, yeah, exactly. That's why we celebrate today.
Yep. But
imagine reading news.
Yeah.
I do. I think she gets up in the night and burns the lights.
She does.
The only one who didn't fail.
That's right.
Got it right was Jackie Schechner. So happy is Schechner. That's not to the weather.
Ba ba ba.
I will not be happy until we have President Obama on tape saying, I should have been watching Jackie Schechner. Because he was confused. He was watching CNN and Fox. You know, they obviously, the Oval Office, they have all the channels on. Like, yeah. Most, you know, when they erroneously declared the Affordable Care Act mandate had been struck down, the president remained calm, as he always does in the face of, he probably was like, you know, Mel Gibson in Braveheart, hold. Hold, hold, okay!
They may take our lives,
yeah, exactly.
But they'll never take our freedom!
Oh, no, he's more like Spock and Wrath of Khan.
1 to 2 minutes passed before White House counsel entered the room, flashing two thumbs up that the law had entirely survived. Mm-hmm. And then, whoop!
And Gene Schmidt blew a gasket.
Yeah. Obama's first response was confusion. Two of the four TVs in the outer Oval Office were still breathlessly pronouncing the mandate dead, but the initial shock quickly turned to smiles and hugs.
Yep.
And I don't. What do you think they put on? Fitty? I don't know what the celebration music is in the Oval Office. I'm just saying.
I don't know. Fitty had a rough weekend.
Yeah, he did. Oh yeah, that's right. What happened to Fitty?
He slammed his car into a pole or something.
Yeah.
On the LIE.
That's Lindsay Lohan's job. On the LIE.
Anyway, but yeah, I mean, amazing, right?
Yep.
So now there's going to have to be 5 televisions, one of which will have Talking Liberally.
Exactamundo.
Featuring new superstar Jackie Schechner. Yeah. Yep.
And Uber fill-in John Pugelsang.
Yeah, right?
That's right. Thank you, Chris.
No problem.
Well, they probably have him on because he created the Etch-a-Sketch moment. They have their own a YouTube channel with all just John
Pugelsang. John TV.
And John TV.
It's shaped like an Etch-a-Sketch.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to say.
Are you kidding? He is revered. They probably replaced a presidential portrait. Probably Nelson Mandela was replaced with John Pugelsang.
I am available to write very cool tweets and speeches for the president because I seem to do a good job of it. No, it's been amazing this last 2 weeks on Current, filling in for Governor Granholm all last week in San Francisco. I'm sorry I couldn't join you last Friday.
I know.
And then, I mean, I joined you every day from my hotel room.
John,
and then this week on Spitzer, two incredible staffs.
Yeah, tell us tonight you're doing Viewpoint, right?
I'm doing Viewpoint for the last time tonight, filling in for Governor Spitzer. We've had amazing guests all week Mr. Hal Sparks was one.
Yeah.
We had Sheila Jackson Lee and Congresswoman Lynn Woolsey last night. Sweet. We even had Jack Abramoff a few days ago. But tonight, just to give a sweet goodbye to Pride Week, I'm very happy to be welcoming Ms. Shelley Wright.
The official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show, Shelley Wright, on with John Pugelsang tonight. Very, very exciting on Current TV. And then John, of course, in all next week for us on Talking Liberally here in Captain America's Underpants.
Yes.
All right. 29 minutes after the hour. Oh, we're talking to a fancy legal expert next about the breaking down the Supreme Court ruling on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, my God, you are a saint.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. This hour brought to you of the Stephanie Miller Show, brought to you by Sherwin-Williams. Make the most of your color with the very best paint. Ask Sherwin-Williams, won't you? Maybe the Republicans should, since they've painted themselves into a corner on health care.
Yeah. Hey, Susan, who's there?
Okay.
Cunning.
Well, okay. I dropped this by accident. Doug Kendall, we just had him on last week, and he was terrific.
I had him on, too.
Yeah, president of the Constitutional Accountability Center to talk about the Supreme Court ruling. Good morning, Doug.
Good Good morning. Thanks for having me back, Stephanie.
Oh, well, thank you for coming. I know that you're not as big an expert as Rand Paul, who said just because a couple people on the Supreme Court declare something to be constitutional doesn't make it so.
Wow. Boy, that was hearing the Tea Party react at the steps of the Supreme Court made me absolutely sure it was a victory yesterday. Yeah, they were mad. Those people were crazy.
Wow. Yeah, he said the whole thing remains unconstitutional. So I guess, I'm like,
he knows
okay.
more than the Chief Justice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can say you disagree, right, Doug? But you cannot say it's unconstitutional anymore, can you?
It's tough to do at this point when you have the very conservative Chief Justice of the United States upholding it. It's a tough argument to make.
In fact, I have a guess the poll for you, Doug.
Uh-oh.
Who said as president Mitt will nominate judges in the mold of Chief Justice Roberts? The judges that Mitt nominates will exhibit a genuine appreciation for the text, structure, and history of our Constitution, interpret the Constitution and the laws as they are written, and his nominees will possess a demonstrated record of adherence to those core principles. Who said that, Doug?
Robert Bork.
No, that's a bad guess. It would be Mitt Romney said that on his website.
Well, but Robert Bork is his chief advisor on such things, so I think Robert Bork wrote those lines.
Exactly. I mean, it really is incredible. I mean, I suppose it's not incredible when we know, you know, the vengeance with which they turned on the other side in the healthcare debate, the vengeance with which they've turned on John Roberts, right?
Mm-hmm. They like to eat their own, and they are doing so pretty hard today.
Yeah. What were you there, Doug? Were you?
I was in the courtroom as they announced the ruling, and it was truly a roller coaster. You were kind of up one minute, down another. You weren't sure where it was going. Roberts just kind of kept you guessing the entire time, and it wasn't really until till Justice Ginsburg declared at the end of her statement, which is the very last thing, that we are upholding the entire Affordable Care Act, that you really understood the significance of what happened yesterday.
Well, and she invoked Romney, too. She referenced him.
Yeah, that's probably true. I don't recall exactly what she said about that, but she did at the end of the whole of this whole presentation kind of pull it all together and say, we are affirming the Affordable Care Act, and that kind of was the bottom line of what happened yesterday.
Yeah, so there was just as much as confusion in there as there was on the networks, I suppose.
Absolutely right. I mean, because John Roberts started talking and he talked about how, you know, he was talking a lot about what the arguments of the challengers were and agreeing with a lot of those things, and so he first said that the individual mandate was not within the Commerce Clause powers of the federal government, and that's when CNN went out and reported that the mandate was struck down, and then he started right into his argument as to why it was constitutional as a tax, and then he got into the spending, the expansion of Medicaid, and again he first started with this long discussion of why this was beyond the spending clause power, and then he explained what they were doing, which is basically taking out a small part of the law and letting it to go into force with that small modification, and then, you know, again, it took Justice Ginsburg to summarize it and say, basically, we're upholding the entire Affordable Care Act.
Doug, I'm sure you've heard the right-wing talking point went out. It started, I believe, first with the leader of the Republican Party, Rush Limbaugh, and then everybody said the same thing all day. Here's Representative Kathy McMorris Rogers, Republican of Washington.
It is the largest tax in America's history. We also know that CBO has estimated that up to 20 million Americans will lose their employer health insurance.
What? Doug, what? Rush Limbaugh actually said it's the biggest tax increase in the history of the world.
I don't
And Romney repeated it loyally.
Right.
Yeah, and then you heard it on Hannity, you heard it all day. What is your response to that, Doug?
I think CBO has also scored this as something that's going to save the federal government a lot of money and reduce health care costs in this country. And I think I'm no expert on all the policy implications of this and the ins and outs of the law itself, but what the experts who have looked at this have said is that, you know, this is going to reduce health care costs in this country and start solving the health care crisis.
Right, but the major charge, Doug, is that the president lied. to us, to the American people. I mean, the fact that this is how the Supreme Court interpreted the mandate doesn't mean the president lied, right?
Right. No, it's exactly right. I mean, the president was absolutely, this is a tax penalty. And so he called it a penalty instead of a tax, but that's, it doesn't, you know, everyone knew this, the mandate is precisely the same today as it was yesterday. Yesterday it was a penalty for not buying insurance based on the fact that individuals who don't have insurance impose costs on the rest of us.
Exactly.
They do so by going to emergency rooms when they get sick without insurance, and we all pick up the tab. Yep. That's what this is about. It's a tax penalty, and the Supreme Court said rightly it's constitutional on those grounds.
Speaking of gotcha tape, we want to hear some of Mitt Romney in 2006?
With regards to the mandate, the individual responsibility program, which I proposed, I was very pleased to see that the compromise from the two houses includes the personal responsibility principle. That is essential for bringing health care costs down for everyone and getting everybody the health insurance they deserve and need.
Wow.
So I was very, very pleased with that development.
Wow. Maybe that's what the justices reviewed that tape before they made their decision.
He was right then. I think he was wrong yesterday.
Yes.
Doug, as a court watcher, were you surprised about Anthony Kennedy? And does it trouble you for, you know, whatever future ruling it is, marriage equality? I mean, obviously he's seen as the swing vote, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It was, I mean, his decision to join what is truly a sweeping and activist ruling by, or an activist opinion by the dissenters and side with Justice Scalia and Thomas over Chief Justice Roberts is a disturbing development. He has not been that far to the right on this set of issues. He's kind of gone back and forth between the court's liberal and conservative wing on federal power issues, and the fact that he went so far to the right and joined without any sort of separate opinion what has got to be one of the most sweeping, if not most sweeping, opinions in terms of limiting the federal government's power I've ever seen is a disturbing development. I think and so we'll see how that plays out in the future. We'll see how Chief Justice Roberts plays out in the future after the break that he made with the conservative wing.
What's your personal opinion why he did? I mean, to say the least, it was a shock, right? What's your personal opinion about why Roberts did what he did?
Why Roberts did?
Yeah.
You know, I think there is a special responsibility being Chief Justice, of the United States rather than Chief Justice of the conservative wing of the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as a result, he took that responsibility seriously, and rather than putting his political preferences above the law, he followed what he thought was the best course here. I mean, his opinion is, you know, is rife with indications that he doesn't like the Affordable Care Act, but also, heavy on statements about why that shouldn't matter and
which makes it all the more powerful, right, Doug?
It does. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a very important development in American law that he found a way to uphold what is, I think, the most significant expansion of the social safety net since Medicaid was created in 1965. It's a very big deal. The Supreme Court has affirmed the federal government's power to solve a national crisis like the health care problem.
Or if you're Michael Savage, it's clearly because he had a seizure of some sort.
Yeah. Doug, your organization filed a brief in this Supreme Court case, didn't they?
Yeah, we actually filed two briefs, both on behalf of a coalition of over 500 state legislators from every state in the country. And so our briefs were explaining why, you know, the states or the state AGs, the conservative politicians who filed this suit, didn't really represent the entire voice of the states in this. And in fact, you know, legislatures from every state in the union disagreed fundamentally with the premise of the lawsuit and thought that we had to have a federal role in solving a nationwide crisis. And that's precisely what the Constitution was designed to set up. And that's Justice Ginsburg's opinion on this is incredibly powerful. She cites to letters from George Washington and James Madison saying, this is why we need a federal government to solve national problems. And she cites to the Constitutional Convention where they say, in establishing the federal powers, that we need a federal government that can solve problems that the states can't solve on their own.
And Doug, that echoes the immigration ruling, right? Is that it's as the Obama administration argued, this is the federal government's purview. You cannot have states making up their own, superseding the federal government on immigration, right?
No, that's precisely right. Both rulings, both majorities recognize the federal government's problem to solve the power to solve national problems, and the fact that the Chief Justice, sided with the Obama administration on both of those cases is very significant.
Yep. Onward and upward to marriage equality.
Woohoo!
All right, Doug, always a pleasure. I want to keep talking to you as, these cases keep going on. Doug Kendall, terrific stuff as always. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Stephanie. Thanks, Brad.
Right.
And website is theusconstitution.org.
Who were our favorite faces yesterday? Bill in Fort Worth says Scalia's face. Hello, Bill.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
I just want to bask in the glow of this wonderful day.
Yes.
And I want to give a shout-out to Michael Moore, my hero, for getting the ball started with this brilliant movie, Sicko.
Sicko, mm-hmm. Yep.
It's surprising how many of my progressive friends have still not seen that movie.
Honestly, I've never seen that movie.
Yep. So many people haven't, but it's partially because the marketing was really buried. They did not do a good marketing job on it, and they think that's because of insurance company influence.
Could be.
That's his greatest movie, up until Capitalism, A Love Story, and they're his two least seen features of the last 10 years.
Bill, go ahead. You were talking about the look on Scalia's face yesterday.
Oh yeah. I love to see that look, when he gets really angry and flustered, and I know something's working well.
Somebody on TV, Bill, described it. I think he had his hands, didn't he, on both sides, and he was looking down. They said, as if someone had just told him, the worst news ever,
Yeah. I also have a confession to make.
Yes.
And I can't believe I've been so stupid, because like Michael Moore and many others, I've been grousing about the single payer, not getting that, not getting public option. And I think I may have been seeing this all wrong, because the mandate is not an inconvenience. It's not a penalty.
No.
And it may, in fact, be the best part of this bill, because it could eventually become single payer the same way FICA.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Security.
All right. 47 minutes after the hour, we continue more Fridays with Ugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That happened, and we all let it happen.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it's a vacation Friday when Chris says, I wish I would have it. I was having a beer right now.
I could use one.
Beer.
Mm.
I said, I'm going to be boozing it up on the plane to Italy.
Beer.
Beer. This hour brought to you by SolarWorld. SolarWorld been making solar panels right here in America since 1975. Go to SolarWorld.com to find out more about the leader in American solar. Oh, that's right. Thanks to Mitt Romney, we have another new sponsor. I forgot about that.
It's Dave.
Quality family time begins at the breakfast table.
Hey, kids. How's it going? Tag? Trip? Truck? Beldar? Hey, Josh. Check out this butter, my friend.
What's that? Ow! Leave me alone.
It's I can't believe you shoved my face into butter. You'll be all right. Let me pull you out.
Great with pancakes. Biscuits.
Let's get out of here.
Toast. Fun for the whole family.
How about you, Seamus?
I can't believe you shoved my face into butter. From Neocon Agri-Foods, makers of Willard Jones Versailles Horseradish.
Rocky Mountain Mike. Annoying.
Hold me down and cut my hair. That was funny.
John, you're a new daddy. Isn't there a concern that that could get in someone's eyes and be
what could?
A butter.
It builds character. Butter? Oh, well, no, my kid's vegan so far.
Ah, well, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's 20 pounds, so he's a complete freak.
Murnie in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Murnie.
Hey, Steph, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, go ahead.
We're really looking forward. Unfortunately, we have to come to Columbus to see you because you guys won't come to Ann Arbor. But
it'll be a party in Columbus, August 18th,
yeah, well,
yay.
And if you do come to Ann Arbor, you'll have to bring David Schuster with you, and he can take us on a tour around campus and show us where all the highlights of his,
yes.
his college career
are. And he fits in a carry-on because he's very flexible. All right.
Oh, yeah. Good job.
All right.
Well, I just wanted to call and say that I want to become the official Stephanie Miller Northern Michigan feminazi.
Wow.
Thank you.
We needed one.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, I know that, and that's why I decided to call, because even though I'm self-employed and have been female all my life, I'm now going to be able to pay premiums the same as men that are the same age as I am. And
rock on.
Even if they're a smoker. Yeah.
Yay. Woo. I think I just ovulated. Okay, let's dive into the right-wing world. Am I the only one that's really excited to do right-wing world today? Oh, let's start with Rush Limbaugh.
Increases taxes, it grows the size of government, puts bureaucrats over patients while doing nothing to improve the economy. And that's exactly right, and does so as a result of a massive tax increase.
Biggest in the world?
That the regime, the president, and the Congress all denied this bill was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Our freedom of choice just met its death penalty.
Oh, because of that socialist John Roberts, my friends. I always said so.
And you know what's really the funniest thing about it is it's not a tax. And John Roberts only says it was a tax to try and draw some fire away from him back onto Obama. That's
yeah.
it. They
mm-hmm.
hate John Roberts, but they believe that one thing he said.
Yeah, exactly. Glenn Beck on the radio.
Justice Roberts is the guy.
How you feeling, George W. Bush? How are you feeling today?
They hate him even
feeling
more
good?
Now.
Feeling good about that John Roberts thing? Oh. You know, I've gotten the heat for saying that George Bush was a progressive. Screw you. George Bush was a progressive. He was a progressive. Progressive light. He wasn't Barack Obama. He was a mm-hmm. progressive.
Yeah.
Admit it. And if you don't admit that you have a problem, you're never going to be able to cure it.
Oh,
it's
God.
Too bad you tried so hard to get him elected, Jack.
Ooh,
4,000 dead soldiers might disagree.
Republicans eating their own. How does it feel? Oh.
You were in such a tantrum yesterday.
Tasty, tasty. Eat up. Laura Ingraham in for O'Reilly.
When you have the Chief Justice, of course, nominated by George W. Bush, deciding this monumental case, he was the swing vote, 5-4 decision. Without a doubt, erodes personal liberties, throws people's lives into question. The rich people can always afford to buy the coverage they need or pay for health care out of pocket.
Ooh.
But the middle class that Barack Obama said he was going to protect under this ruling written by the Chief Justice, they're really going to get shafted here because they're going to pay for this this monstrosity one way or another through this quote, taxation. Or through continued ramped-up care that ends up being rationed in the end.
You heard
damn you liberals, looking out for the rich.
Your life is in question because of that socialist John Roberts. Bill O'Reilly.
Wow.
Americans have to decide what kind of country they want. Because in November, if Americans go to the polls and say we don't want the government running everything, because that's what Barack Obama wants. He wants a huge federal government to level the playing field and redistribute income.
Right.
That's what the man wants. It's obvious.
Sure,
this is
obvious.
Another play on that.
So obvious.
So
yeah.
Working Americans, middle class Americans, have to decide, do you want to be Sweden or do you want to go back to the free marketplace?
Actually, Sweden sounds pretty good.
Oh, my God, more ABBA music for everybody.
Well,
and free health care. What? No? Woo! Yeah, there, hey there. That's what I say.
I had no idea the president who saved capitalism hates capitalism so much.
Right, exactly.
Megyn Kelly, Fox
The right
News.
Believes that we've just created another social entitlement program that we will never get out of if President Obama wins a second term.
Oh,
and that's how the states will be defined.
Well, there's that straight reporting we've come to know on Fox News.
Yeah.
No opinion there. All right. John Fugelsang will be in tonight, of course, for Elliot Spitzer on Current TV.
That's right.
And in for us all next week, hosting Talking Liberally here, as we will be on vacation. And so, because you got to go. You got to go tape something for tonight,
I
right?
got to run. We're taping the Spitzer Show early today, so I'm sorry to bid farewell to your listeners early, but I hope you have a wonderful week off, everybody. I'm going to miss you terribly, and I promise I won't set the place on fire.
All right. Miss you already. Representative Barbara Lee next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Bye, John.
Bye-bye.
and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's World Scleroderma Awareness Day. Scleroderma is difficult to diagnose, and there is no cure. Make scleroderma history like polio. Learn more at themightyturtle.net and at Turtle Mighty on Twitter. There you
Yay!
Go.
All right.
Thank it you,
is,
sponsor.
Thank you. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. Fabulous. Yeah, website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Like Julie in Seattle did with a one-word Italy travel tip. Gelato. Thank you. Thank you. She sent some yummy pictures.
Does gelato go with wine? Because you're pretty
much... What doesn't go with wine?
They may have some fantastic cheeses in Italy, too.
Very well.
I hear Italy has good food.
Oh.
Yes.
All right. So lots to come. Also, sexyliberal.com. Hurry. I'm told that the really and truly stuff almost sold out for L.A. in July. Columbus in August and then Seattle in September. Mm-hmm. So hurry. Okay, we are awaiting Representative Barbara Lee.
Yep, who's, tracking her down.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, one of our healthcare warriors, of course, but also one of the people who walked out of that ridiculous holder contempt hearing yesterday. So she will tell us all about that. Oh, we have a Scotchmore right-wing world.
Oh.
How festive. Rupert Murdoch on Fox News.
Following the Supreme Court hearings, I'm a little surprised, but it's clearly a... It will be seen as a big victory for the president. They'll all be doing high fives at the moment down the White House. On the other hand, every poll shows it's not a popular bill. So we'll go into the election and fight over it there, I imagine.
Every poll with Powell and his newspapers.
Every poll? No. Every poll does not say it's unpopular.
Every poll.
In fact, every poll shows that all of the provisions in it are popular, and I believe as we move forward and all the, you know, those...
Poll show people want to die of pre-existing conditions.
All right.
That's popular.
All right. Representative Barbara Lee, as I mentioned, was on the House floor yesterday. Good morning, Representative Lee.
Good morning.
Well, first of all, let's celebrate. First, the good news.
Yeah.
great. Yeah, what a day, right, for affordable care.
Yeah, it's a great day for the American people. I mean, when you look at the benefits of what is taking place already and the future benefits, it's just quite amazing now to see that... For example, 105 million more Americans won't face any more lifetime limits on health benefits. You know, children are going to be covered regardless of pre-existing conditions.
Well, you said something important yesterday. You said the Affordable Care Act will now take its rightful place with Social Security and Medicare as powerful examples of what this country can do to improve the lives of every American.
Absolutely, and it was done under the leadership of President Obama and a Democratic House and Senate, and I'm just very proud of what we did together. I helped actually write many of the provisions in the bill. When you look at the health equity provisions, when you look at cost containment and what we're trying to do as it relates to providing testing and care and treatment for high-risk populations, HIV and AIDS, when you look at expanding opportunities for education and training to diversify the health workforce, I mean, there's some major provisions in this bill that will help millions of people. Small businesses, they get tax credits. It's going to benefit our small business community like you would not believe. Also, I just have to say finally that healthcare is a booming industry. I'm sorry, it's an industry because I support single payer and Medicare for all. But it is an industry. You're talking about the creation of tens of thousands of jobs out of this, as well as it's going to reduce the deficit. So it was a good day.
Yeah. Well, and that's why the mandate started as a conservative idea, too, right?
Right.
Yes.
And that's why many of us pushed back on it and got as much as we could get that would at least cover those who had no job, and especially during hard economic times when they have to rely on Medicaid and wanted to make sure our seniors had a reduction in their prescription drug benefits. We knew that, how this was put together and the insurance industry's involvement in it. But we got the best we could get, and I think it's been an excellent bill. It's a good foundation, and states like my state, I'm hoping we'll move forward now with single payer.
Well, I mean, and that's what we were talking about is, you know, now a lot of these Republican-run states got to, you know, get on the stick and get this stuff implemented. I mean, instead of, you know, you look at all of the time we have wasted on this, and really what even a small amount of people, the mandate's even going to affect, and the fact that they have just really dragged their feet on implementing this.
You know, and this has been so political, Stephanie. It's been all about, like Mitch McConnell said, you know, they want to make sure President Obama is a one-term president. So anything they can do, like holding the attorney general in contempt, like trying to repeal health care reform, like doing the crazy, really ridiculous things they're doing on the House floor, rather than looking at how to create jobs and turn the economy around, they're politically posturing an agenda that's run by the far right, and that's what they're about.
Representative Lee, speaking of which, this was Mitch McConnell yesterday.
Americans want us to start over. And today's decision does nothing to change that.
Oh, my God.
What? I mean, what else do you say but sore losers? You know what I mean, like, there was an election. We enacted what the president ran on. The Supreme Court has ruled it constitutional. At what point do we become Americans?
Well, I think it shows you just how intent they are on trying to make President Barack Obama a one-term president. And I think, you know, the American people are going to see through that. And when they start realizing the benefits that many of already achieved, like now 6.5 million young people are on their parents' plan until they're 26 years of age. Come on, Senator McConnell. You know, you have young people who benefited from this too.
Yesterday, Congresswoman, you make us proud as our representative out here in California every day, but you were one of the people that got up. You joined members, other members of the Congress who walked off the floor instead of voting on this partisan witch hunt against Eric Holder. Here he is yesterday.
Today's vote may make for good political theater in the minds of some, but it is at base both a crass effort and a grave disservice to the American people.
You said I cannot and will not participate in this hyper-partisan and purely political vote today to hold the Attorney General in contempt of Congress.
Absolutely not. And several of us went to the Congressional Black Caucus and we made our argument that we should not engage in this miscarriage of justice. And the process was so immoral and unethical that to be party to it makes us complicit in it. And so the Congressional Black Caucus led this effort with the Tri-Caucus, the Hispanic and Asian Pacific American Caucus, the Progressive Caucus, and then our full Democratic Caucus passed a resolution in support of what we had led. And so we decided to just leave. You know, this was a charade. It didn't warrant our voting yes or no, because this was a process that was so, I won't even say flawed. This was worse than flawed. It was illegal. They're asking for stuff, documents that any president would want to keep under the executive privilege provision, because much of what they want, first of all, would be illegal to turn over. Secondly, the Attorney General has turned over thousands and thousands and thousands of pages of documents and had nothing to do with anything except trying, once again, to live up to their agenda to make President Obama a one-term president. And so why engage in such a charade?
Well, and Representative, am I being conspiratorial in the timing that they wanted to embarrass the president on the day of his biggest triumph at the Supreme Court? I mean,
I don't think they thought that the Supreme Court would rule in favor of the law. I think most of them were ready to go out and tout the fact that the justices were going to overturn it.
Oh, yes. Speaker Boehner said no spiking the ball on health care, right?
Yeah, so I don't think they, thought that. I think the timing, first it was just unfortunate that they did this. But this is what they do. It's nothing about, you know, they don't have anything else to do. If they were going to do anything to help the American people, they'd be putting forth an agenda to create jobs.
That's right.
To turn the economy.
I mean, you made the point yesterday, which is really right to it. Contempt power should be used sparingly, carefully, and only in the most egregious situations. The Attorney General has gone above and beyond in his response to requests for information in Fast and Furious, an unfortunate operation that began under the Bush administration and was terminated by Attorney General Holder. Yeah.
So this is a charade. The process was horrible. And this is one of the times I felt very proud of the full Democratic caucus, because there were a few of us who just pushed to make the argument that, you know, to engage in such a charade would be party to a process that didn't that we should not dignify or should not participate.
Well, I mean, and I have to say, Representative, the saddest part for me is how powerful the gun lobby is in this country, that they got that many Democrats to vote for this ridiculous charade, you know, because of pressure in their districts.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that any lobby could make any kind of an argument that this was about gun control. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know, and I think people are going to see right through that. But I hope that people wake up and understand the power of the NRA, and we need gun safety and gun control measures. When you look at what's taking place in terms of gun violence in our country, this has nothing to do with Second Amendment rights, you know. 95% of us agree that hunters should have a right to be able to hunt.
Yep.
That's not an issue. The issue is guns in the streets of America, allowing guns to be sold to those without a license. I mean, it's just outrageous what's taking place.
You said it best yesterday. You said the contempt vote is unprecedented, unwarranted, and entirely unnecessary. Gandhi once said, non-cooperation with evil is as much a duty as cooperation with good. That's why I'm standing with so many of my colleagues and refusing to participate. And good for you. Making us proud as usual.
Thank you, sir. We have to do, you know what, at this point in time, we're at a defining moment in our history. Democrats have to be strong, have backbone, and really be dramatic in our message and let people know that we're on their side. We want to create jobs and turn the economy around, and we're not going to go along with messing around with the lives of the American people and going through these political charades.
Thank you. God bless you, and God bless America.
I love you, Representative
God
Lee.
God bless America.
So to talk with you, thank you so much. You're stuck back here, though. It's tough.
Yes.
All right. She's awesome.
Wow. Mitch McConnell has decided the president and the Supreme Court don't matter. So all hail the Turtle King. I am now your leader.
All hail the Turtle King. Okay.
Oh, my God. You're a talking turtle.
You've got a firm grasp of the obvious. So.
17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
You know, as Jim always says, crazy in the head, crazy in the bed. 22 minutes to the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number, toll free from anywhere. Karen writes, staff in the MOOCs, I'm in my car a lot. I prefer to travel alone because friends and family insist on talking while I'm listening to my setcast.
I know, right?
Shush!
I drive alone.
While mama's talking, $7.95
yeah,
a month or
$4.95
if I buy a year in advance. Thank you very much, Karen. And shush, everybody! While mama's talking. Talk over the
zip it.
Oh, look, it's another Italian travel tip from.
Oh.
That's from Julie.
Awesome out of you.
Yeah. I got to go. How often do I say that? I got to go. I'm going to Italy today.
Well, not often.
A travel tip. Steph, to increase your chances of scoring, take along a bag full of that no-no magical hair removal unit and use them to entice some of the unibrowed and mustachioed, but otherwise smoldering hot brunette young Italian women.
It's called the no-no. The no-no hair removal system.
That's funny. I do have some extras. I will bring them as little lovely parting gifts. Okay.
Hand them out like candy on the Italian countryside.
Yes. You are hot. How about you just shave that, though? Okay.
I can no-no that right off you.
My Mark.
Liam Gallagher wants his unibrow back.
Yeah.
Mark writes, dear Steph, I heard Elvira's latest tale about meeting Sinatra. I surmise from the frantic dump that Sinatra told Elvira nice...
Yes.
T exactly. Word for boobs.
For boobs, yeah. She thought that was appropriate, but it was...
You know what? Current thought it was appropriate, and they didn't dump it.
Really?
Yes.
Courtney, you little hussy. But nice... gets me thinking about Stephanie Miller. Have your tomatoes ever been so remarked?
Computer says
no. No.
Not you're, by Sinatra.
No, you're like a surfboard.
Ms. Miller's pectoral qualities inspire beholders to raptures of praise. Adequate. Durable. Oh, one could go on and on. Convex.
adequate.
Why not give the fans a glimpse? A little spring break, a little Miller's Gone Wild, and let the compliments roll in. We can bring it back for sweeps. Sincerely, Al Gore. Oh, Al Gore did not write this to me, Mark. That's, all right. Courtney, how about that? No? Can you marble them out? What would happen if I did that? All right, Jason, subject line, you suck.
Oh, okay.
Staff, why can't you at least be bisexual? Some days I am. I totally would get a divorce.
When it comes to firemen, those are the days when Rush Limbaugh likes you.
And when I'm with Alan Grayson. I will totally get a divorce and be your groupie. Mama will never have a dry wine glass again if I was your boy toy, Jason. Mm. Wow-wee.
That's enticing.
Wow, that is enticing. I don't know if we have that at Kern. Do we have the little marbly things if I were to whip them out before the end of the show?
There's only one way to find out.
Courtney's like, no, yeah.
No. Poor Kelby.
It'll take me a while to get the sports bra up, so just discuss amongst yourselves. Yeah. And we'll...
It's strapped down like an ace bandage.
Cindy in Chicago. It's like Boys Don't Cry.
Right, exactly.
That's how strapped down these suckers are. Cindy in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Cindy.
Hi.
Hello.
I just wanted to talk about something that I haven't heard, and I want you guys to bring it up. Mitt Romney is always talking about how Democrats hate success and as if nobody...
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Blah, 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 blah.
But what I really wanted to talk about is I saw him say something like, manufacturing is coming back in a big way, especially in right-to-work states, right-to-work-for-less states.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway,
I make that sound off for almost everything Mitt Romney says. My friend's a Asian mom. She imitates her mom when she doesn't like something. She just goes ah. And I've started saying that when Mitt Romney talks now.
Oh no.
When she doesn't like something, my friend May does. She goes ah. Okay. Vicky Kennedy, Ted Kennedy's wife.
That's right.
Reiterated her late husband's commitment to the health cause of health care. She said, we still have much work to do to implement the law. I hope we can all come together now to complete that work. As my late husband, Senator Edward Kennedy, said, what we face is above all a moral issue. That at stake are not just the details of policy, but fundamental principles of social justice and the character of our country. Mm. Nancy Pelosi was very touching yesterday. She said, I want to say a word about Senator Kennedy. He called it the great unfinished business of our country, of society. I knew when he left us he would go to heaven and help pass the bill. And I know he was busily at work until this decision came down, inspiring in one way or another. And now he can rest in peace.
He can rest, yeah.
Yeah. He's, no, you know what he's probably up there now saying, Jim? Elizabeth Warren, get that Senator Fold out of my seat. That was the worst Ted Kennedy impression ever.
That was nothing approaching any kind of Kennedy.
Era.
He never said era.
No.
This is my Kennedy impression.
Tell that pink pants fella to get out of there.
Yes, exactly. The founding fathers did not create his Senate seat to have a man in pink leather
shorts
sit in it. That seat was not meant for pink leather shorts. It was meant for somebody Kennedy-esque.
When it comes to senators, we should never have to see their naughty bits. And
I think he was resting in peace for a minute, and then he's like, wait a minute, one more thing.
Yes, one
Get
more thing.
Get that doofus, that truck-driving doofus out of my seat. Go, Elizabeth Warren. Now I'm doing Nixon. What am I doing?
I don't know.
I'm so tired. I need to go on vacation.
You should be brushing up on your Italian.
I'm for Nixon.
And one more thing. Single payer. Okay, all right. Let's go to Ken in Cleveland. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Well, hey, happy vacation Eve to you guys.
Kenny Pick.
Kenny Pick
in Cleveland.
Yes, that's me. And now, you know, it never fails. My right-wing friends on the Internet yesterday all decided to try and start to spin the Supreme Court decision to say, this is a victory for Romney. This is a victory.
Oh, yes. Heard that. Oh, yes, sure. This is really good for Romney.
You go with that.
Well, wouldn't it have been much better had one of the president's major policies completely collapsed and failed?
Yeah.
I mean, that would have been better. But I want to say this. Romney is raising a hell of a lot of money with this, so everybody needs to go and donate to President Obama.
Yeah, that's
right.
You
like this bill. I did yesterday. You should, too.
Yeah, get his back. Get Barack's back. Okay, 29 minutes after the hour, right back with Joe Piazza, senior editor of Current.com/pride.
That's right.
As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
good.
Stephanie Miller.
You look atrocious. I thought I told you to take a vacation.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Vacation in about 25 minutes. Woohoo! 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, by the way, check out my blog at current.com today. Love letter. It's been quite a week. Little love letter to Sean Hannity and Orly Tate. My new BFF. Magic. Speaking of the magic on current.com, they're doing something really cool. Joe Piazza joins us now. I hope I said that right because I'm off to Italy, so I better have said Piazza right. Mm-hmm. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, and you totally said it right.
Awesome.
Any relation to Rod Piazza, the harmonica player?
Absolutely none. No, but I wish. It's so much better than that baseball player I always get asked about.
Yeah, Mike Piazza.
Mike Piazza, yeah. Joe, you're doing something interesting. You're senior editor there, and you're doing a reporter's notebook, basically, about it's a series on gay politicians. And
obviously, for Pride Month.
Tell us about it.
Well, obviously, we were inspired by Pride Month. And over the past 6 months, in my reporting, I've come across a lot of LGBT candidates running for office, whether it be for national office or local office. And I thought it would be really interesting if we profiled them, but took a look at the questions that people aren't normally asking them. So talk about what it really means to campaign as a gay person. So how do you use your coming out narrative? How do you use the idea that you're gay in your fundraising? Are there attacks on you for your sexuality? So we decided to profile 6 candidates, ask them those tough questions, and profile the races they were in. And I think it turned out really interesting for so many different reasons, one of which we found out that this kind of is the year of the gay candidate.
Well, I was just going to say, but the media, you look at Newsweek, the first gay president, even though he's obviously not gay. but you're right. Now you said just a cursory look at your Facebook feed showed you it seems to be there's more gay people running this year than usual, right?
Exactly. There's more gay people running, but more than that, there's more viable gay candidates in races for more high-profile offices. So we have gay candidates running for Senate, for Congress, for very high-profile state legislature and city council races, and they're more viable. They're more likely to be elected this year. It seems that voter sentiment is leaning in favor of being gay, not necessarily mattering when they go to the polls.
Being an issue, yeah. Well, and if there's anything I hate, it's an unviable gay. Now, here's my favorite part. You reached out to 32 openly LGBT candidates, got responses from less than half, and had 8 who were willing to be included. One dropped out at the last minute with his candidate staff saying the idea was too gay.
Wow, really?
direct quote, too gay.
It's a little too gay.
A little too gay for me.
What does that mean? I mean, you say in some ways, you understand that. You said that it's the ultimate goal for sexuality not to have a party platform. It's tricky because unlike race or gender, sexuality isn't immediately visible. The problem is for these candidates, at the end of the day, they still don't have to convince the gay community that they're gay enough. I mean, there are some interesting issues in this.
Exactly. And I think that, when I heard, this series is just too gay, my initial reaction as a progressive was I felt kind of punched in the stomach. But if you think about it, these are politicians. They're running for office. They don't necessarily want to call attention to their sexuality and their personal life, full stop. I mean, what politicians want to do that?
You said it best. They have to convince the undecided voters that this is something that doesn't matter. I mean, I only came out a couple of years ago, Joe, because I just, and for me, sometimes it's not that I haven't always been a very forceful advocate of gay rights. I just, didn't want to be defined that way, I guess, or I was a private person, whatever your reasons are at the time, and then I think as we move forward in this civil rights battle in our generation, we all maybe feel the need at different times to just speak our truth, right?
Right, exactly. So I applaud the politicians that worked with me on this series and that were so willing to be very open. But at the same time, I understand the politicians that said, yes, I am an out candidate, but I don't necessarily need to wear that on my sleeve in this race.
And one good thing, you said none of the candidates told me that they had been attacked for their sexuality in this year's race. You said hopefully we are moving in a direction where gay will not be an other anymore.
Exactly, exactly. And it's a big contrast, too. I interviewed Mark Takano, who's running for Congress out in California, and he ran 20 years ago, and that race was just ugly. And we are talking about a complete slur campaign against him for being a homosexual. And now 20 years later, he is having the exact opposite experience. He's had a very pleasant experience. No one has attacked him. So I think that race really shows what a difference 20 years makes in the fight for equal rights.
Well, you know, the headline I loved best this Pride Month is, in a first, Pentagon ceremony marks Gay Pride Month. Less than a year after the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, gay service members celebrated at a formal event at the Pentagon. You know, a year ago they would have gotten fired for saying it. And, you know, they were saying there were no, you know, the drag queens and stuff like that. It wasn't a normal Pride celebration.
Right.
But
right.
They said if most of the Pentagon audience wore crisp military uniforms or conservative business suits, their joy was unmistakable. Several same-sex couples said they were attending their first Pentagon function together. I mean, that to me is just touching.
Yeah, that was very touching. Just the fact that they're, a year after Don't Ask, Don't Tell, they're sipping champagne at the Pentagon with their partner and allowed to openly be there and express themselves in a way that they wouldn't have been able to.
Yeah, one of them said, here I am having champagne with the commander-in-chief. And one of them said, I thought the most important thing that spoke, he said, I happen to be gay, but more importantly, I'm a Marine.
Exactly.
To which he got a big hoorah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think with a lot of these candidates that I profiled, they would say something very similar. You know, I happen to be gay, but I'm also a politician. I'm also a congressperson. And that's what they want to come first.
Yeah, I happen to like baseball hats, but not because I'm gay. Okay, Joe Piazza, great stuff on Current.com and a great series for Pride Month. Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Thanks so much. Have a great vacation, Stephanie.
Oh, thanks, Joe. There she goes, Joe Piazza. Okay, mittens yesterday. On the steps after the decision.
Obamacare was bad policy yesterday. It's bad policy today.
When I did it in Massachusetts.
Obamacare was bad law yesterday.
Oops.
It's bad law today.
Blah, blah, blah. This is blah, some of the best headline yesterday. Somebody said, now Mitt's going to have to run against himself.
Yes.
Mitt Romney.
Well, we have the tape.
Yes.
Exactly. I disagree with the Supreme Court's decision, and I agree with the dissent. What the court did not do on its last day in session, I will do on my first day if elected President of the United States.
Okay.
And that is, I will act to repeal Obamacare.
Well, we'll make a note of it, that all of us with pre-existing conditions or kids on our health insurance, okay.
That'll be capping out in your front
make
lawn.
Make a note of that.
He will act to repeal the very same thing that he enacted in Massachusetts.
But I did that with my hands at the time, so it's different.
Which is why Rick Santorum was right. He is the worst Republican in the country to run against Barack Obama.
Yeah.
You can choose whether you want to have a larger and larger government, more and more intrusive in your life, separating you and your doctor, whether you're comfortable with more deficits, higher debt that we pass on to the coming generations.
What are you talking about?
It's a lie. He just told a lie.
How many likes is the picture of Boehner and Pelosi on my Facebook page up to? It's hilarious. If anything summed up yesterday, Jim, Nancy Pelosi is smiling and clapping, and Boehner's just crying orange bronzer down his face.
1,279 likes.
Wow.
All right.
Shared by 409 people.
Boehner yesterday.
The court makes a decision about whether this law is constitutional. It doesn't mean that the law is wise. It doesn't mean that the law is good for the country.
No,
and he said today's law only underscores the urgency of repealing today's. No, it doesn't. It underscores the constitutionality of it.
Yes, but if the court had said it's unconstitutional, say, well, of course we believe in what the Supreme Court says. That's the final word on anything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Eric Cantor said today's health care decision underscores the importance of this election. Yes, it does, bitch face.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know what though? He does have a point there. They are running on it. And they are raising a lot of money on it.
That's why it's a huge victory for Republicans.
No, it's really riled up their base.
Yeah, okay, good. Good on you.
No.
Majority Whip
something
Kevin...
Something to worry about. Just
Kevin
saying.
McCarthy said it did nothing to end the debate in America on health care. Yeah, except that you lost it. You can suck on it now.
But this is also going to help fundraising for Obama, too.
Yes, yeah, sure. Thank you. Senator Ron Johnson, Republican Wisconsin, yesterday, Senator... Ron Johnson yesterday. Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped ahead.
Yeah, oh, you did.
Yes,
okay.
I was looking for some more Republican reaction, okay. And then I said, read a
Senator. Our rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And when we start expanding beyond that realm, when you create a right for somebody, you create an obligation for somebody else, and then you're taking away that person's right. And that's just, you know, maybe doesn't seem all that great, but it's just true. And our nation was based on the foundation of freedom and limited government. This takes this country in the absolute wrong direction.
Yeah, I'll see you wrong
was
direction.
Was that crying Tea Party children in the background
there? Yes, that was Gene Schmidt.
Sounds like he was at a pajama party or something.
All right, I saved the best bat for last. Michelle Bachmann, a tad bit unhinged yesterday.
Profoundly disappointed in the decision from the court, but I urge people to read the dissent that was read from the bench by Justice Kennedy and joined in by Alito and also Scalia, because that opinion said very clearly, this was an activist court that you saw today. What they did is not just uphold Obamacare. This Supreme Court rewrote Obamacare in line with its own designs.
Marcus is like, oh, honey, there's only one drama queen in the family. Please.
Whatever.
Oh, sit down. did you say, oh, God, I hate to do it to you. It's a Sarah Palin word salad. Did you see her tweet?
Her Facebook thing?
Yeah. Obama lied to the American people again. He said it wasn't a tax. Obama lies, freedom dies. Sarah Palin. The end. Okay, I just have to read. Thank you, SCOTUS. This Obamacare ruling fires up the troops as America's eyes are open. Thank God this proves to be such an unsettling time in America as we undergo the fundamental transformation that Obama promised he would do to us.
What?
That's not correct grammar.
No, it's not. They really shouldn't let her write.
As we undergo a fundamental transformation that transformation isn't something that someone does to you, you nitwit. Okay.
Help me, I'm being transformed.
Obamacare was dealt in deception and confusion by flooding. Oh, my God, she has the worst grammar ever. Obamacare was dealt in deception and confusion by flooding the public with an overwhelming amount of conflicting, quote-unquote, rationale via thousands of pages of unread legislative detail. What was unread? Because you didn't read it, you dope. Which
what
is the radical
read?
Left's MO. Oh, I see. So it's the president's fault that you didn't read the bill.
Right.
Okay.
You are an
wow. There were too many cameras she had to peer in front of. That's why she didn't read the bill.
You know what? This is why I love my listeners. There was a lot more to that, and I only see how much. I didn't over-highlight. It went on and on and on.
Wow.
Just mired in bad
grammar. She needs to hire an editor or something.
Trust me, this much more expensive health care will be rationed. Death, family. This will go where it belongs, in the recycle bin. Okay.
Yes, you are no longer putting papers in the trash can.
No, and also because she will recycle that garbage again.
Yeah, well.
As the debate goes on. 47 minutes after the hour, back with the waning moments, and it's always pretty unhinged, the last segment before vacation.
Yeah, we get nuts.
I may take these puppies out. Get ready, Courtney. Uh-huh. Get the marbling ready. Pre-vacation time on
Circus
the Stephanie
Boobs. Yeah. Circus Boobs.
Yeah. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. 2 weeks.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. John Fugel saying in for us next week. We all remember that one time that Chris forgot to play this and we sat here for a whole week.
I know, right? Sorry. That won't happen again.
Okay, it's our thing. We do it every year.
It's our bag, man. Bag, baby.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. What a week.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good week. Good pre-vacation
and
week.
It's amazing that this huge news happened and we weren't on vacation.
I know, right? And normally we are on vacation this week and that's when news happens. Exactly.
Psych.
It's like, all right. And I'm off to Italy on a bike trip, yep. And so I need to hear Audra in Minneapolis' overwrought song one more time.
Wherever you're going, we wish you well.
Thank you.
Wherever you're heading, we know you have to go.
Yes.
But we know you're going somewhere to ride your fancy bike.
That's right.
You've been training for weeks now, and it's time for
Jeff right.
to fly.
Yeah, check out,
to fly.
Check out that cow.
But even though
check
it kills us to go a week without you on radio or TV, we all will survive. So farewell.
Wow.
We're all gonna miss you.
It's not like you're gonna be riding into Vesuvius.
Yeah, wow.
But we will survive.
Yeah. Oh, God. Somewhere Celine Dion is like, dial it down a little bit. Yikes. Thank you, Audra. Hilarious. All right. Representative Emanuel Cleaver, by the way, joined our friend Barbara Lee, who we had on today, and walked out of that stupid charade yesterday with Herrick Holder.
We did not want to participate in something that we believe to have some kind of smell to it. And we are declaring by walking out that we're not participating in this activity.
Another person to walk out was Raul Grijalva.
Yeah. God bless the people who walked out. There was a stench. Who said that? Oh, Hugo Chavez said that after George Bush spoke.
Yeah. Yeah. Smells of sulfur in here.
Exactly.
I got that.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Ayer vino el diablo aquí.
The devil came here yesterday.
Yes.
Ayer estuvo el diablo.
Yesterday, the devil came here.
Here.
Right here.
En este mismo lugar.
Right here. And it smells of sulfur still today.
Well, in this case, the devil who, you know, appointed John Roberts.
Yep.
Oh, I'm having a little bit too much fun.
A little bit. We told you'd be unhinged this segment.
Off the chain.
I'm officially.
You got circus boobs.
What? Oh, okay. Don't egg me on. All right. Yeah. Oh, by the way, with gas prices expected to drop below $3, uh-huh. speaking of vacation season, Republicans suddenly silent on Obama's role in that.
Yeah, interesting.
Gee,
the president
think,
had everything.
Maybe the president can borrow Newt Gingrich's little prop, the little gas meter.
Yeah,
oh,
that would help.
And show the numbers going.
Well, Mr. President, has nothing to do with our.
Yes, experts predict average gas prices may fall below $3 this fall after dropping 14 cents in 2 weeks.
T&E.
Wow, yeah. I guess I've heard so many Republicans giving the president credit for that.
Sure.
All right. This may happen to me after I get back from my wine tasting bicycling vacation. Andy Dick back in rehab after friend stage on-air intervention.
Oh.
Miami, mark that for your calendars, July 9th, on-air intervention.
Okay. Oh, boy. Talk about soaked in Chardonnay.
You cannot. There could not be an intervention. I'd be like, shut up.
Shut up. Go press that button.
Shut up. On his internet television show, Andy Dick Live.
Why? Okay.
I don't know why. I don't think an intervention's going to take that happened on live on television. Do you? It might have just been for. All right. Ooh, this is entertainment news. Did you know that Dallas remake was a huge hit on TNT? So now they're talking to. Linda Collins and Joan Collins and Linda Evans, because they're gonna do a dynasty.
A dynasty like reboot.
Yes.
Oh wow.
Put the gowns back on, start grappling in the mud again. They both crack a hip. Oh.
John Forsythe is no longer with us, right?
I don't believe so.
I don't think so.
No.
Okay.
They could still get it on the mud pit though. Nolan Miller's not with us anymore either. Yeah.
They would crack a
hip.
I'll
send them some Ambrin.
I'll hit you over the head with my walker.
Yeah. Wow, I never thought I would see a more awkward celebrity kiss than the Michael Jackson, Lisa Marie Presley. But John Travolta and Kelly Preston, did you see them on the red carpet? Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, boy. They kissed several times and seemingly couldn't keep their hands off each other. Their body language a little tense. As I said last week, he needs a massage. He needs a massage. He really.
A little overcompensate-y there.
Apparently he wants to be the masseur.
as well.
Chuck Norris believes gay people have... This is a great story to end Pride Month on. Chuck Norris believes gay people have no place in the Boy Scouts of America. And claims plans to overturn the century-old policy to ban them is simply un-American. He wrote a piece called, Is Obama Creating a Pro-Gay Boy Scouts of America?
No.
No. The gay people in the Boy Scouts are creating a pro-gay Boy Scouts of America.
Hmm. Norris talks about the Boy Scouts epitomizing the best of America, the insinuation that gays don't. Hmm. Okay. Oh, thank you, Chuck. Try to ease into your action genes.
He will kick you in the head
if you let in a gay weeblow. All right, that's it for us. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor, and Jackie Schechter, Courtney, all the gang, and Kurt. We will miss you. Oh, God. John Fugel will say next week. We'll see you after that. Goodbye, everybody.